fighting for America.
Mr. President, if you don't want to give terrorists a recruitment tool, instead of closing Guantanamo Bay, frankly, sir, you ought to close your mouth. They called us crusaders, and you've just confirmed it.
Fighting for Idaho.
The situation with the underpass that you're talking about, it's a microcosm of a larger issue, and because it's such a high-profile area, I think people focus on it a little more than the overall situation warrants.
Fighting for you.
Remember those creepy King ads they did?
The King!
The King.
They were so creepy,
they
though.
Were so creepy.
I thought they were good after a while, though. Here comes really, the King. He's going to get you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, K. Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Always a proud part of our community. Joining us now from the College of Idaho, Mike Safford. Mike, good morning.
How are you, Kevin? And excited to be on your show this morning.
Well, great to have you with us. And from what I understand, you've got some big things going on at the College of Idaho, and you need everybody listening here and throughout the Treasure Valley at 580KIDO to help you all out.
We definitely do. We've been very supportive and of what the community's done for our new football program and for the rise of our basketball program. But we are in the midst of the finals of the Cascade Conference Mascot Challenge. I know you probably are like a lot of folks who on New Year's Day when the bowl games are out, they have the Capital One Mascot Challenge and all the fun commercials and things like that for the Division One level. Well, our conference decided to do the same thing with all of our mascots at the NAI level. We've made it all the way to the finals, and it's very simple. There's 53 minutes to go in this voting, and we've got links on our social media site at yodaathletics.com and our Coyote Athletics Facebook page, and all you got to do is go find the picture and like it, and it counts as a vote. And we've been overwhelmed with the support that we've had.
How big has the sports been in influencing just the community in Caldwell and the college itself, Mike?
Well, you know, Kevin, it's crazy. People for years wanted football to come back, and people were very skeptical from the standpoint that it's just going to bring in a bunch of, and in quotation marks, dumb jocks. And what it's done on the complete opposite side is the fact that it's brought in, you know, over $4.5 million in revenue to the Caldwell community. Our student athletes have a collective grade point average of over a 3.0. So it shows that we're bringing in good kids. We're bringing in revenue and excitement to a community that, I mean, for years when you're reporting about Caldwell, it was always about gang shootings and things of that nature, and it's really showed the way that the community has really grown in the last few years. And we're just a small part of that, but it's fun to see 5,000 people come out to a football game and help them. We didn't have any games at the exact same time as the Broncos this year. That helped a lot.
Indeed, and there's something more to it, though, that you have athletes that are playing for the love of the game, whether it's revenue sports or non-revenue sports, representing Idaho, representing the College of Idaho, representing Caldwell. And, you know, that says a lot. You know, we always talk about, hey, the Heisman this and the Heisman that, but athletes that go to your institution, like we hope all institutions, will get a good degree and be a productive member of society. I know that's part of the mission statement there.
That is definitely the case. Most kids, even if you're at Boise State, are not going to play professional X, Y, and Z. They will, however, be a professional X, Y, and Z, whether it be in the teaching profession or the business profession, and to try to get the best education that they can. And, you know, whatever school they go to, they're going to get a great education. But the thing that's neat about what we've been able to strive out at the College of Idaho is to expand the mission through the athletic department, whether it be through our great ski program that's hosting the regional championships next week, or our men's basketball team that's ranked number 4 in the nation, or what the football program has done. It expands the reach to try to show, you know, what kind of gem we have out there. And these kids are doing it for the love of the game, as you mentioned, Kevin, instead of, you know, hey, I'm just using it as a stepping stone to try to play professionally. And you look at what some of these majors that these kids are going through. Not only do they have a major, but as part of our curriculum out there, they're required to have three minors as well. So it's a rigorous study. It's kind of like the Harvard of the West is the way I look at it.
Well, Mike, I remember when we were out there and talking to your administration, and the folks were saying, you know, we're preparing kids for, you know, the job that, you know, will exist in 5 or 10 years. That's easier said than done. But when you look at the preparation and the return on investment, that's what you have to do. That, you know, who would have thought, we've seen the commercial with Bryant Gumbel and Katie Couric when they're going, what's ad and what's .com? And now it's such a ubiquitous part of our life. Let's get back to the mascot challenge. So what happens if y'all win this? What does that mean?
There's a huge trophy that we would be able to put right in the middle of our foyer, especially with basketball playoff season coming around. My thought is that here's this little school of, a little over 1,000 students. We're going up against state schools right now that have huge alumni bases, have huge enrollments compared to what we do. And, you know, we're that little school in Idaho that just keeps fighting, and we've always done that from the days of when Joe Albertson was going to school there. But it also shows the love and the support that we have in this community in the Treasure Valley, and it's really, really been very proud to see everybody stepping up and trying to help out.
So, again, if people are just tuning in here at 580KIDO, what can they do to help the College of Idaho?
Easy thing to do right now is to go to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is Coyote Athletics, and like that, and you'll see the very first thing on there. It says, click on this picture of the Yotanies with our basketball team making a three-pointer. It's a very, very unique picture. Click that picture, hit like, and it counts as a vote. We were down by a way, big, big margin thanks to you and media partners here in the Valley. We're almost even right now. We've got about 45 minutes left, and appreciate all the support that we can get. Also, I know I'll be tweeting it out. Our Twitter handle is Yote Athletics, and just like photos and have fun with C of I, and look forward to seeing all the fans out for basketball and football games coming up this fall.
Well, in our multitasking world, I've just put it on my Facebook here so people can go there and vote and such, and it is a great photo there.
Hey, I thank Jordan Rodriguez and our marketing staff to come up with that. We've had a lot of fun.
Indeed, Mike, we appreciate it. We'd love to talk to you some more. And any other words of wisdom? You're the educated one of the duo here this morning. Any other thoughts for us here today?
Hey, I'd make it very simple. Vote Yote, go Yotes, and thank you to 580KIDO.
All right, Mike, take care.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So, you can go to Coyote Athletics. You can go to my personal page, and you'll see the Yote there for the mascot challenge there. And it's nice to see a local team doing very well right now. I think they're at 592, so maybe we can get that over, 600, 650. Always very proud to serve our community. It's 813. Some national news here. We were talking about gaming machines in casinos. Do want to thank our friend Julie Lindy for calling in, giving us some background on this from Cornerstone Family Council. It's a big issue. You got the Coeur d'Alene tribe. They're mad because, and you know how it is, politicians say, look, we're going to put some machines in there, but don't worry, they're not slot machines. They're not gaming machines. They're there to keep jobs in Idaho. Okay. Now the tribe says, look, you're trying to get it through the back door. These are slot machines. And as Julie Lindy pointed out, you got a constitutional amendment that prevents those machines and casinos from coming into the state. I look at it this way. It's, death by matriculation. You put these machines in, and then all of a sudden we had, what was it, Pat, not gun-toting Pat or Pat from Middleton, a female Pat from Middleton, saying, look, what's the harm in gambling? And you're going to have people, whether it's on the radio or on the blog, saying, what is the harm of gambling? And I have to say that it depends on what type of society you want to live in. If cash is king, let's be like Colorado. They've legalized the pot. In fact, they're making a ton of money off the pot. Here's our own Bill Vitka at 580KIDO talking about how big pot is for the state of Colorado.
Colorado's budget problems just went up in smoke. When the state legalized the recreational use of marijuana, it taxed it. Now the numbers tell us that in the first year of sales, Colorado has made about $44 million. Fees and other payments bring the total to $76 million. But can they keep the money? The Colorado state constitution limits government spending. A 1992 amendment requires new voter-approved taxes to be refunded if tax collection rises too fast, which means the state will likely have to go back to the voters for permission to keep the money. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
Man, what would they do with the money? The moolah, right? You got me. There you have it. Colorado figuring out what to do with 44 million simoleons. Now, you know, let's just legalize pot here. I know we have one pot champion who says it's only a matter of time that Oregon does it. He's going to buy a shop there and sell pot in Oregon. Why not, you know, help us with the budget? It's going to go to for the kids. Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just have gaming machines for the kids? You know, the lotteries for the kids, $485 million. You know, and this is a tough one. You're at work, you're hanging out, and if your work is like ours, you've got a lot of people dreaming about never having to come to work again. So what do? They put in a big pool. Nobody wants to be the guy left out or the gal left out from the lottery pool, right? And it's a kind of a crisis that I'm having here. Do you join the Kool-Aid drinkers and get a lottery ticket? I mean, that's gambling, right? But it goes for the schools. Is that a tax deduction? And quite frankly, maybe everybody should get a lottery ticket today. A, it's for the schools, and B, you can tell your kids, hey, I lost $500 million. That's an accomplishment. Well, how did you lose $500 million, Daddy? Well, I bought a lottery ticket, and somebody else won the $485 million. And, you know, we don't look at things critically. You know, the money generated, does enough go to the schools? Maybe. That's one at 580-5436. Number two, is gambling so bad? We see it across the East Coast. Atlantic City, why is Atlantic City going down? Because you have casinos now in Ohio and Pennsylvania. And the gaming commission, the gaming people aren't stupid. They'd like one here. So you wouldn't have to travel. So we keep the money here. It's funny, though. Those states with the casinos, they still have school systems that aren't like the Taj Mahal. And it starts with where we're at right now here at 580-5436. Maybe you go to the racetrack. Maybe you don't. Do you want slot machines there? They're not slot machines. Well, according to the legislature, they were tricked. They were shown a picture of one machine, and it's the exact opposite. And you got the tribe. They want people to come to their nice facility to gamble. They want that kept crowd. I mean, morally, should Idaho become a gambling state? Would you feel comfortable, let's say, instead of a LeBlanc racetrack, it's LeBlanc Casino? You know, how about the Lucky Lady Casino down in, I don't know, Meridian, right next to the Village? That's how it starts. That's really what's at play here. Is it about jobs? I don't know. I thought that if it were about jobs, if the horse racing itself can't feed the people there, what about the slot machines? And does that mean we're going to rip people off? Me personally, I don't gamble. I'm not down with it. Not my thing. I don't believe in it. I don't think that it's fun. I think that it leads to more gambling. In fact, I had a bad experience once. Who hasn't? Where you buy a lottery ticket. In fact, my friend Cindy bought me one for my birthday. Several. Thank you, Cindy. They were all losers. Anyway, I should have given the winnings back to you if I won anything, if I weren't a hypocrite. So I bought a lottery ticket, and I won like $50. So instead of keeping the $50, what did I do? I bought $50 worth of lottery tickets. What happened? I gave the money right back. Isn't that really what gambling is about? Oh, it's fun. It's entertaining. Hey, let's go to such and such, right? Lucky Bills. The only person lucky in Lucky Bills is the house. That's why with this issue, when we're talking about gaming machines, that's all it is. And if we had people that were honest, they'd tell the legislators, hey, look, we're calling it one thing. It's really something else. And you think about it, okay, the tribe there, they says, well, this is bad for Idaho. I think Julie Lindy is like the only one really honest in this, where she's giving you the moral side of things. And that's what we need in America now, right? 819-580-KIDO. Coming up next, your thoughts on gaming here in Idaho, legalizing pot, and the future of Brian Williams. All that before 8:40 when we'll have some...
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Last year, we paid over $900,000 in horse racing taxes, with over $223,000 going to Idaho schools. We also paid an additional $98,000 in sales tax.
And there we have it. The debate continues. Hey, how about this? Thanks to my friend Martha, who is always like the watchdog of this program. Kevin Miller, I keep waiting for the report on Obama that you announced and never elaborated on. So far, about same-sex marriage, are you aware that Clarence Thomas stood up for states' rights on the subject? One of the two dissenting judges, yeah, and the other was Scalia. And this is interesting when we're talking about gay rights and add the words and everything else. It always amazes me that people like President Obama and Hillary Clinton that are hailed as people that are at the forefront when it comes to rights and everything else. Well, remember in 08, Hillary Clinton was not down with same-sex marriage until after she lost the primary. Now we have David Axelrod, who's out his new book, saying essentially that the president lied. That's right. The president lied about his opposition to gay marriage or his indecision in 96 and 2008. Imagine that. Imagine that. See, this is what I love about the courage of the progressives and everybody else is that they only come out on an issue after an election has been decided. Let's hear from the president.
Make a shift, one that I welcome, which is to recognize that having hit a critical mass of states that have recognized same-sex marriage.
Man, I'm glad we didn't play this in the 5 o'clock hour. It would have put you back to sleep.
That it doesn't make sense for us to now have this patchwork system, and that it's time to recognize that under the Equal Protection Clause of the United States, same-sex couples should have the same rights as anybody else.
There are a few officials in Alabama, starting with Judge Roy Moore, but also a number of probate judges who are resisting that. Do you see shades of George Wallace in the schoolhouse door?
Well, I won't say it's a perfect analogy, but there's a core principle here that's at stake, which is we have a supremacy clause in our Constitution. When federal law is in conflict with state law, federal law wins out. And my understanding is that my recollection is Judge Moore had a similar problem with a federal court ruling that you couldn't put a huge Ten Commandments.
Why is that funny?
Statue in the middle of your courthouse, and ultimately, federal law was obeyed, and I think that the same thing will end up happening here.
Was there anything you'd say to him?
Anyway, I know Roy Moore. Let's continue on. Here's the skinny on this: Axelrod basically saying that, look, the president, for the sake of political expediency, that Obama supported gay marriage for years. In the big coming out in support of same-sex couples' right to marry in 2012, Obama had cited the evolution I went through. And I remember everybody going, oh, isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? Oh, it's gay old time. The president has decided to come out of the closet. He's evolved. When in reality, he felt that way for quite some time. Now, regardless of what you feel about gay marriage, same-sex marriage, and the like, the real courage, as I've argued for years when this guy was an unknown senator from Illinois, that if you truly believe what you believe, have the courage of your conviction or convictions and say, a lot of people may disagree with me, but I believe in gay marriage. A lot of people basically say that, it's wrong, but I believe in it, and this is what I stand for. And if I'm elected, I'm going to fight for gay marriage. That's courageous. Saying that he didn't really have a view on it, it's disingenuous, right? Here you have it from Axelrod. Gay marriage, quote, gay marriage was a particularly nagging issue. For as long as we've been working together, Obama felt a tug between his personal views and the politics of gay marriage, Axelrod writes. Quote, opposition to the gay marriage was particularly strong in the black church And as he ran for higher office, he grudgingly accepted the counsel of more pragmatic folks like me and modified his position to support civil unions rather than marriage, which he would term a sacred union. Axelrod recalled that Obama said he just didn't feel my marriage is somehow threatened by the gay couple next door. So you have his right-hand man, the goon that got him elected, Axelrod, essentially saying, well, the president did have his views, but I talked him out of it to help him get elected. And really, isn't that what it's about? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Who's the head of NBC Universal. But again, the breaking news tonight, NBC News announced tonight that nightly news anchor and managing editor Brian Williams suspended without pay for 6 months. And here's the awkward part for us. I said at the top this was a little awkward. Here's why this is awkward for us on this show and for me as its anchor. So we are MSNBC. The NBC in that means that we operate under the NBC umbrella. And there's a good reason why you see so many faces from NBC News on our air. It's because we really are working partners with them. We are working partners. We're a partner organization with them within the news division. But tonight, even as we are reporting on this breaking news about the news division of which we are a part, no, NBC News will not make anyone available to discuss this story with us on the air. Now, that may change in days ahead. You'd think that if they're going to talk to anybody about this, we might reasonably get a leg up on getting interviews with any NBC News executives to explain this decision, if only because we're right down the hall. But so far, no one.
There you have it, Rachel Maddow. She's mad that no one from NBC will talk to her about Brian Williams. By the way, our top national story today at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning, Brian Williams, whether he gave himself the boot or NBC gave him the boot, he's off for 6 months. How would you like that? Hey, I'm only going to make $5 million a year. Here we have this big lottery that's going on, $485 million. By the way, probably it'll be over a half a billion as we move along here. And this guy makes $10 million a year. He's going to take a pay cut, and no one from NBC will talk about it. By the way, we do have David Axelrod talking to the soon-to-be-retiring John Stewart about the president lying about gay marriage. Take it away there. Do we have that, Sweet William? Let's play the clip.
When we ran, he said we got to focus on the next generation and not just the next election. He actually believes that. That wasn't just a line in a campaign. And so he gets frustrated.
He is not unwilling, though, to be pragmatic or to subvert the ideals for...
To lie, Mr. Stewart, to lie.
Political, you know, the gay marriage situation. He believes it should be okay, but has to take a position that he doesn't.
But ends up moving gay rights more than any president ever has. Got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Got rid of DOMA. And ultimately...
Thank you, former Congressman Walter Minnick, for that vote. He put gay marriage in a position to succeed, but he lied about it, right, David Axelrod?
So, you know, that's part of what you have to do in politics, but that is different than the small politics of Washington that we get so consumed in, right, that has nothing to do with anything in the long term.
There we have it, David Axelrod justifying the president lying to the American public when he was a candidate. Gee, imagine that. Joining us now with intelligence, insight, and possibly entertainment, Senator Mike Crapo. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Kevin.
So the president today has decided to involve Congress by asking for an endorsement of authorization of military forces against ISIS. Is this the same as a declaration of war?
Well, we haven't actually seen what it is yet. We have a big meeting tonight at 5 o'clock where we're going to get a full review and look at what it is that the president is proposing. So I couldn't answer that question. One concern that many of us have is, what is it exactly that he's saying in this? And are some of the preliminary reports that he's basically going to say what he won't do and what he does not want authorization for at the same time as he asks for some limited authorization? And, you know, that's, of course, his pattern to signal to our enemies what our troop movements will be and what troop activities and military activities we will not engage in. and then allow them to plan their battle strategies around that. So, we really don't know yet. I'm keeping an open mind to see what it is he's proposing, but I'm very concerned given his track record and the way that he has approached defending U.S. interests to date.
Well, Senator Crapo, what gets me is this gentleman in the White House has had a confused policy at the Middle East to begin with, and he's cutting the military, so I don't know where the money's going to come from to go after ISIS.
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, we have degraded our military over the past 5 to 10 years in ways that have essentially not only weakened our strength, but encouraged our enemies to be bolder. I don't think Russia, for example, would ever have gone into the Crimea under President Reagan. I just don't think that would have even been a consideration on their part, because President Reagan believed in a strong military, and he believed that we needed to have a strong presence in defending our interests across the globe. We see now a president who has been apologizing for the United States and engaging in, frankly, I think if you could say he has a strategy, and I'm not sure he has one, I think it would be a strategy of appeasement. And we're seeing the fruit of that right now, and it's very, very dangerous to U.S. security.
That's the scary part about what's going on externally, and that'll be the big news cycle there, your meeting tonight. Now, let's talk a little bit about your favorite topic, the economy, and, you know, what's going on there. You know, we keep talking about the impending doom, and hopefully it doesn't happen, but it is scary when we look at the unemployment numbers, the real unemployment numbers, and we look at the loss of the family income.
That's true. I mean, you know, we do see the stock market continue to maintain some strength, although it's fluctuating all over the place recently. I personally continue to have a hard time seeing how we can maintain economic strength in the face of our mounting national debt. You know, the president just put his proposed budget out, and it's more of the same. $2.1 trillion of new taxes and massive new spending, to the point that our deficits are projected under the cycle, or under the budget window that he's proposed, to get back up over $1 trillion within 5 years. And the budget he proposes never balances. And you know what the biggest, the most rapidly growing part of his budget is? Interest on the national debt, which during his budget will get larger than our entire defense spending and larger than our entire non-defense spending, you know, on the discretionary side of the budget. And so I just don't see how we maintain the kind of economic strength that people are saying that they see in the economy right now in the face of this phenomenal fiscal collapse that we have in Washington.
What do you make of this is the first time, I think, in our recent history at least, that we've had the stock market going through the roof, we're printing our own money, and yet the jobs do not correspond with the rising tide of the stock prices?
Well, I attribute the general dynamic there to two things. One, as you know, the Federal Reserve has basically printed money to pump trillions of dollars into our economy to keep it chugging. And those jobs that the president does clamor and claim that he's generated are lower paying jobs. Many people who had to lose their better jobs and are now back in the workforce at a lower paying job. And so we are seeing that kind of a dynamic develop. I believe also the second dynamic, other than the pumping of money into the system by the Federal Reserve, is that even though things are as difficult as they are here in the United States economically, it's more difficult in other parts of the world. And so when those who want to invest their equity somewhere, if they want to make equity investments, the United States still is the strongest place for those investments, and that's one of the reasons why I think you see the stock market so strong. But to claim strength because of the weakness in other parts of the globe is not a very reassuring policy for economic growth in the United States.
Senator, it's always a concern for people that have jobs in the military, whether it's the old BRAC Commission or the restructuring under this administration. How concerned are you about the future viability of Gowan Field and perhaps, to a lesser degree, Mountain Home?
Well, I am concerned because, as I said earlier, that we are degrading our military, and under pressures from Congress, and this is legitimately pressures from Congress as well as the acts of the administration, we are seeing smaller budgets, and Congress and the military has responded to that. I don't think that the military has responded properly. They still have phenomenal areas of excessive spending and waste that they could address, and instead they're trying to reduce platforms like the A-10 at Gowan Field. And so I'm strongly opposing that. But I'm also arguing strongly that Congress needs to find a way to boost back up our defense spending. I really believe we need to do that. Now, we need to do it in a fiscally responsible way by finding savings in other parts of the budgets and making it a revenue-neutral strengthening of our military. But we need to give extra resources to our military, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get that done in this Congress.
Well, and it's funny, the administration blames the sequester cuts, but that's the only thing keeping them in line when we're talking about budgets. And you know, I know you're concerned about, you know, the cutbacks that have been happening, people losing jobs at Gowan Field.
Yeah, I'm absolutely concerned about that, and I think we need to maintain the spending levels that are currently being enforced against the administration by Congress. Like I said, I do believe we need to adjust them a little bit so that we strengthen our defense spending, which has been cut so deeply, and that we do so by finding other parts of the budget so that we still hold those budget lines. The only thing controlling this administration is that budget agreement. And by the way, you may have noticed when he put out his budget this year, proposing a 7% increase in spending in the federal budget just next year alone, he said he would veto any bill Congress sends him that does not increase spending. We have got to keep our controls on this president.
Senator, final thought. How concerned are you about the growing threat of Russia? They're buzzing us now. They're becoming more aggressive around our territories.
I'm very concerned about it. You know, like I said, I don't think Russia would have been so bold had we protected our defense posture and some of our relationships in that zone of the globe better than we have now, and if we had not followed such a policy of appeasement. That being said, we now face a much bolder Russia, a very aggressive Russia, who we have to take seriously. And that's one of the reasons that I believe we need to pay significant attention to our defense posture around the globe. You know, another thing we need to pay attention to is our intelligence posture. President Obama has dramatically undercut our intelligence operations around the globe. We need to have a strong defense, a strong intelligence operation, and a strong Department of State, rather than to continue the kinds of policies the president has pursued, which gets right back to that question about the proposal he's going to submit to Congress for authorization to use force. I want to see exactly what his strategy is and what he intends to do before I will support something like that.
Senator, keep your powder dry.
We'll do it. It's good to visit with you, Kevin.
Take care, sir.
Thank you.
Our great friend, Senator Crapo, with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. It is 8:50. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, we've just been rolling so much, we haven't even talked about Jon Stewart leaving The Daily Show.
I am a terrible employee. But in my heart, I know it is time for someone else to have that opportunity. And that I told you they didn't know. You probably know. Not right away. It's going to be, you know, we're still working out details. I'm up in September. Might be around then. Might be December. Might be July. We're still working out details.
There we have it. Jon Stewart leaving. And, it, you know, a lot of people say that Jon Stewart helped out Brian Williams because he made that announcement. When Brian Williams was announced that he was getting his meal card slapped with no dessert, here's Whoopi Goldberg at 580 KIDO.
He's going to step down for several days because of the fallout out of his false claim of being shot down in Iraq. Now, some of his other reporting, you know, people are taking a close look, and he's just canceled an appearance on Letterman, which isn't that surprising. But, you know, is this the right thing to be doing, is to lay low?
But you have to trust the news anchors. And, you know, Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America, he took off his glasses. He said, there's no way to win this war. It's an unjust war. And what happened? People took to the streets, and the Vietnam War ended. So you have.
Yes, it wasn't Lyndon Baines Johnson or Richard Nixon. It was liberal Walter Cronkite. Speaking of liberal, Liberal Steve joins us at 580 KIDO.
Hey, 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 hey. What's with Crapo on the one side of his mouth saying, hey, we gotta cut this budget, we gotta cut the budget, but man, we gotta fork the money over to the Pentagon, by golly, and we gotta have more spies, by golly, and that's gonna make money and da da da. One side this, one side that. And he has never got back to me, Kevin. He said he would get back to Liberal Steve when I nailed him on the ag bill that he voted no for, and all the other senators, majority of senators in every state, voted yes to be able to grow hemp. Now Oregon's had $1,500 permits to farmers left and right. They're lining up to grow hemp. 60% less water used in 56,000 products in the United States. We're grateful. Sleeping at the helm.
I didn't know we were talking about your move to legalize the drugs.
I'm not talking about the drug, Kevin. See, that is the ignorance. That is the ignorance that is put out there by what I call the media mafia, the right-wing titty whiteys.
The white whiteys?
Yeah, the tidy whiteys. And hemp is used in everything.
Now,
in the
first
United
you
States.
Say I'm a dummy, and now you say I'm a racist, or are you a racist for calling me a whitey?
I didn't say a racist. I said you probably wear tidy whitey.
Look, we already talked about that Montana lawmaker in yoga pants. I got to run. You have a good day. Bless his heart. 41 in Star. Good morning, Dave.
Trent.
And we still remind you to vote at 580kido.com on what you would like to see happen to Brian Williams. Should he be fired, suspended? We know he's suspended, but how about shown the door? Hey, please don't show us the door. We appreciate you listening. Have a great day. God bless and keep the faith.